Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast. Today we continue the series, Blessed, with week two. Bless, broke, give. Let's listen in with Pastor Jarvis Glanzer.
I didn't say this last week, but we're talking about being blessed and the characteristics of being blessed. But it's not happy people who are grateful. Now listen to this. It's not happy people who are grateful. It's grateful people who are happy. Okay? Check this out, because you can't be a person who complains and who is grateful at the same time. People who complain are always going to find something to complain about, but people who worship and bless the Lord always find something to worship the Lord about. Because happiness, it doesn't just come and I say, if I'm happy, I'm going to be grateful. It's being, I'm going to choose to be grateful. If you're going to have attitude, make sure it's what? Make sure it's gratitude. Make sure it's something that you're grateful for. For instance, gratitude is never invisible and it's not silent. Gratitude is expressed. I love Annie Stanley says this. Unexpressed gratitude actually comes across as ingratitude. Because if someone does something good for you and you don't say thank you, even though you are thankful, you come across as being no gratitude of what they did. So unexpressed gratitude, so people ask me all the time, so why is worship so important? Because worship is expressed gratitude to the Lord. It's literally saying, God, I worship you, I adore you, you are good, you're good all the time. It's expressed gratitude to the Lord. It's expressing what's inside. If you appreciate something, you will share it, and you will want to share it because of what's going on in the inside. It's expressed. Worship is out loud. So today, last week, we talked about the characteristics of blessed people, and we said, blessed people remember their blessings. Blessed people remember their blessings. This week, another characteristic of blessed people is this. Blessed people know, number one, to bless, to break, and to give. And I'll explain this in a second, so you're taking notes, bless, break, and give. So here's a verse. It says in Matthew 14, 13 through 21. It's a story about feeding 5,000. It says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Of hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion. He wasn't irritated. It says he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. So not only did he have compassion, he did something about it. And as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. And then Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. I love that. This is why I love this. Because people always come up to me, and my wife, and different people, and saying, well, we should do this, and we should do this, and we should do this. And I always say, as a church, we should do this. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe you should do that. Right? Maybe you should do that. If it's a burden for you, maybe God's put it on your heart for a reason. Why does it always fall to me? And so I love this because a disciple came to Jesus and says, hey, we should do this, or we should, he says, you feed them. I love that. I'm like, all right. So Jesus says, you feed them. You do something about it. And then as it goes on, and Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And they said, we have little. The disciples were saying, this is all we have. And if you guys know, there's different stories of this. And one of the stories is, they found a boy who pretty much had a shopping bag. And this is what was in his shopping bag. He was on his way home. And he says, he has some fish and some loaves. And the disciples were pretty much stealing like a bully, saying, this kid has food. And this is what they said. The kid has food. And I love it because it says, bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven. If you're taking highlights in your notes, read that. Mark this down. It says, he gave thanks, he broke the loaves, and then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate till they were what? That's awesome. Now, listen, it said 5,000 men. It didn't say anything about the women and the children. So that means there was probably about 20,000 people in this grassy area that was being fed by a shopping bag full of fish and bread. And it says, give thanks. So they were all Eatel satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over, and the number of those who ate have been about 5,000 men besides women and children. So I'm just going to go really fast through this. Number one is this. The first thing Jesus did was that he blessed it and he gave thanks. Do you know why it's so important? I ask some people, you prayed? Oh yeah, I pray every day before I eat. And it's good. You know why you pray? Because you give thanks. We're going into Thanksgiving here in a few weeks, and we're all probably going to gorge and have leftovers for about 2 months. Like, nothing's better than Thanksgiving leftovers, am I right? Like bread, turkey, stuffing, everything on top. But what's interesting is you give thanks because what you express out loud is what is showing your gratitude. It's showing, saying, I give thanks. For instance, I won't ever forget, about 6 months before we planted a church here, I got the amazing opportunity to go on a mission trip with six other pastors to Tanzania, and it was about church planting. And I won't ever forget our guide, our pastor friend, we had to drive through the bush country in this little desert for 6 hours to get to this little church in the middle of nowhere, like in the middle of this desert area. And they just put a water well in next to the church. The church and nationals put this in and here. So we're going to go out there, and we didn't know anything. Nobody's talked to this group. They just let them know we're going to show up. So on the way there, we stopped at this amazing restaurant. We had amazing food, and we get to this little tiny church in the desert. We pull up, and everybody is greeting us. Most beautiful people I've ever seen. They're just kids are running up to us, giving us hugs. And then they almost usher us, like honoring, into their church. And in the front of their stage, in their sanctuary, they have all these beautiful tables set up and all this food and all these beverages laid out. And they said, we're going to put on, this is for you. And we all said, what? Listen, these are people who can't even find water very well until the well came in. These are people that have no food themselves. And the pastor that was with us, the guy in charge of the trip, goes, we're just like, can we just give these people the food? And they said, no, it's dishonoring. They made it for you. Keep in mind, 2 hours before we got there, we just had supper at a really nice restaurant. So we sat down, and the ladies came with basins to wash our feet and our hands. And I'm like sobbing because not only did they feed us, they were so excited that we were going to enjoy their meal. They sat in the congregation and watched us eat. You want to know if people say, what was the most humble you've ever been? Right then. People who were hungry, washing my hands, washing my feet, and then the most amazing thing happened. I hear these little kids run around the corner, run in the sanctuary with buckets, like these nasty buckets with stuff in them, and they said, what flavor? And I went, what flavor? Five little kids ran 6 miles to the local place, and they bought bottles of beverages for all the pastors. And I'm sitting there going, I won't ever forget, my friend leaned over to me and goes, who's going to say grace and who's going to say thank you? And I said, I don't know if any of us can. I mean, like, isn't that the craziest thing? And I look at instances like this, I'm going, what we take for granted, this is the thought I had that day, what we take for granted every single day, somebody else is praying for every single day. The things I take for granted, clean water, all this stuff, those things I take for granted, somebody else is praying for. And it's interesting, as I look at this, this is why I'm thankful. I'm thankful because of this. Food had to be blessed. Now, go back to the story. The food had to be blessed before it was multiplied. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." So choose to be thankful. Thankfulness is a choice. It's not a feeling. No, throw this away. Happiness is a feeling. Joy comes from something on the inside. Happiness is just a feeling that comes and goes, but gratefulness is something that we can choose. There's always something to be grateful about. I put on Instagram yesterday, I said, what if you woke up today with only the things that you thank God for yesterday? What if you woke up today with only the things that you thank God for yesterday? Number two is this. He first blessed it and thanked for it, and then he broke it. The bread could not have been multiplied and spread out. It needed to be broken. The word brokenness in Webster's dictionary means to be separated into parts, shattered, damaged, altered by breaking, made weak or infirm. Like this, the best one is this, to be subdued completely. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise us. James 4:6 says, but he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. For instance, brokenness, when we read this in scripture, is not the typical way that we think of. Now think of when you're broken and you're sad and things happen, that's one thing. But the word translated in brokenness a lot of times means to be broken in. Like a good pair of shoes, right? That broken in feeling, that good pair of shoes. Mia doesn't like a lot of tension, but I'm gonna give it to you. Mia, she works with horses. So she does all this horse stuff, and she trains horses, but she's not very big. She's pretty little, right? Mia, you're pretty tiny person. These horses are big. But what's happening, they call it breaking in a horse. Is this right? They call it breaking a horse. Not because you're making them feel emotionally hurt and you're kind of breaking them down, but because you're trying to get them to submit to the person who is in charge of leading you. The direction. She just has to say a few words or make some movement, and that horse will follow. Even though that horse can take her out, the horse is submitted to her because that horse is broken in. And for us spiritually, this means for us to be broken to the things that look to break things. God wants to break us from our pride. God wants to break us from our, you know what I'm saying, our anger. God wants to break these things. Brokenness is not about destroying, but rather about obedience and healing. Here's what I want you to catch this morning. Some of you are going through challenges, going through hurts, going through bad things, and you're saying, why is this going on? Maybe it's not about God punishing you, but rather about God preparing you. Do you realize that some of the things you're going through is not because God's mad at you, it's because God's preparing you for something that you're gonna do. Because when God comes in and you rely upon the Lord and in your brokenness, now listen, your brokenness allows you to speak into broken people. God prepares you in the midst of your brokenness to bring life. The trials don't define you, to develop you. He wants to do an improving job, and sometimes we just want him to do a removing job. Grateful people don't have to have the best of everything, but listen, grateful people make the best of everything. So first one was the bless, number two was the break, and number three is to give. They blessed, and they were part of a miracle. Now listen. I'm going to find this really amazing. The Father Jake thing, when I announced it to him, the guys were here, I said, we as a church. It wasn't from Jarvis. It was from you all. We are get to be part of the miracle. Tomorrow, next Sunday, when Sarah comes with her daughters, it's not from me. It's from you all. It's from all of us. Today, when you go have spaghetti and you give to their fundraiser and you shoot a student or a leader, whatever you do, listen, what's cool about that is it's we're in this together. When a team goes to Haiti, you know what I'm saying, after the holidays and we go down to Haiti and do a mission trip, we get to be part of a miracle. every Wednesday, on Sunday mornings when you're working and kids are on a stage, I'm telling you, even on Wednesday nights, we need kids workers, volunteers. You get to be part of a miracle. And here's how it's cool. As I go back to this story, and I said from the very beginning, the disciple came up to Jesus and says, we should do something. And what did Jesus say? You do it. And then he took the loaves and the fishes. Let me repeat it. He thanked, he broke, and this is what he did. As he broke it, every broken piece he gave the disciples, and he says, take the baskets and you hand them out. Now listen, here's what's cool about this. As the disciples took their baskets, they reached in, and every time they reached in, there was more bread, there was more fish. It wasn't that Jesus walked around with them. It wasn't that they went back to Jesus and said, hey, can you do your little magic thing to make sure this multiplies again? It says that the disciples walked around with their baskets, and as they reached into their own baskets, the multitude of fish and the bread kept on coming out and kept on serving the people. And it says they were all satisfied and there was leftovers. Now I'm going to tell you this cool thing about this miracle of the story. God allows us to be part of the miracles. Think about this for a second. Jesus allowed his disciples to be part of the miracles. He says, every time you reach in this basket, you're going to pull up more bread and you're going to pull up more fish. He goes, yes, I want people like this, look at the Lord. But think about this. They were able to feed 20,000 people because the disciples spread themselves out and they kept on reaching in and they were part of the miracle that was happening. When you go to your work, when you go to your home and you say, God, multiply me. Multiply me, but not just me, the you that's in me. Lord, how can I love like you love? How can I do this? How can I serve this? How can I give this? When the Lord says, when you rely upon me, love compels us. Love creates. Love does stuff. And I think, here's my little soapbox. Here we go. I think too many Christians say this. They see a need, and they say, somebody else would do it. Or my favorite Christian answer is when, you know what I'm saying, somebody sees a need and they say, I'll just pray about that before I get too involved. Which is cool. And I think you want to ask the Lord, can I just tell you this? I think we spend so much time as Christians waiting. And we think, well, I'm waiting on the Lord. Maybe God's just waiting for you. Maybe just saying, listen, I have a basket full of bread and fish that I want you to do something with. Well, I don't know if I'm going to do that, Lord, because it's not right now. I'm not going to do that right now. I don't want to go in the nursery because those kids sneeze on me. They're nasty. Lord, I don't want to help out, you know, with the youth because I can't stand kids. I can't stand youth kids because they're teenagers. Lord, I don't want to help set up or take down. Lord, I don't want to go to Twinkle Day Parade because it's going to be cold and I'm not going to know anybody. I'm not going to do this. And listen, we can rattle off excuses all day long. But I can tell you this. The people who see the miracles are the people who are reaching their hands in the baskets and saying, Lord, what can I be part of? Just saying, Lord, what can I be part of? I'm just going to share this, and we're going to have the worship team, you guys can come up here. We're going to close and do communion. The food that was given was multiplied because it was given away. I'm just going to tell you a quick lesson here. Whatever you keep for yourself and whatever you try to hold on to, it's hard to be multiplied because it's not given. The blessing principle is this. Little in my hands is not much. Little in the Lord's hands is much more. If we keep for ourselves what God has blessed, there will be no multiplication. But let me tell you this. The little boy came with his leftovers. And I don't know how this story goes. This part of the scripture, I'm just going to share Jarvis's version, okay? I don't want to sell this kind of Bible. So don't take this as, I'm not adding to scripture, I'm just saying. When this boy, I'm assuming, has all this, you know, these loaves and fishes, I'm assuming the reason this boy has it is because he's taking it home. I mean, and so I just can imagine the mom going to the son and saying, I'm going to send you some money. We don't have a lot left over this week. But can you go down to the store, whatever store it was at that time, and can you go down to the market and can you get some meals for the rest of the week for us? And we don't have much money. We don't have much. So make sure you bring it back. So as he's passing by, of course, a little boy with curiosity sees 20,000 people. And he says, what's going on here? And he said, well, Jesus is here. And all of a sudden, then the disciples come up and say, hey, can we use, we have no food, but here's some food right here. Can we use this? And the little boy goes, I love this because it doesn't say they stole it from the little boy. It says they got it from the boy. So maybe he's like, I don't know. My mom wants me back home. I don't know. Here you go. I love this. So it says that they fed everybody till they're satisfied, and then they had basketfuls of leftovers. And in one of the translations says the disciples went with help the boy carry the leftovers home. Can you imagine? You're the mom. You send a few dollars for your kid to go to the store. You know what he's going to come home with because you know what kind of money you sent. And all of a sudden, the boy comes home with friends. He comes home and says, Mom, I got food for this week, and I got food for the village. How'd this happen? He goes, I don't know. I gave them the fish and the loaves, and then they gave this back to me. I don't know how that works. I can tell you, he blessed it, they broke it, they multiplied it, and even that boy, listen, even that little boy got to be part of the miracle. And not only that miracle, but he went back home and got to explain to his family and was part of another miracle that brought another chain reaction, because a story creates a story, which creates another story, because when the Lord comes in and starts to take over and you surrender and you break the things and you become broken and saying, God, what can I do? And you give it to the Lord. Listen, this is what begins to happen. So you're saying, what's the characteristics of blessed people? Blessed people are givers. Blessed people know that they're blessed. And blessed people are grateful. And blessed people know how to multiply what they're given. We don't have much, but come over and eat it. I don't have much to offer you, but what I have, you can have as much as you want.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week as we continue the sermon series, Blessed.